Hello, and welcome to another episode of Endeavors. On today's show, dancer Devin Snell. That's all coming up on Endeavors. Indecision keeps me up. On the previous show, you may remember that I interviewed dancer Roberto Soria about his piece, Resonance, of which he was a featured dancer in Hannah Keel's piece inspired by the protests in South Korea. He studied with Toronto Dance Theatre, and at the end, I did a little segment with his roommate, Devon Snell, who's also a dancer. Devon is the guest on today's show, as he is also working with Hannah Keel in a piece called GH 5.0 for Fall for Dance North. Devon is originally from London, Ontario, and graduated from the School of Toronto Dance Theatre while working with them as an intern in 2017-2018. He is now a member of the company. But while training at the school, he had many opportunities to work with talented and acclaimed Canadian choreographers and teachers. Just recently, he attended the B12 Dance Workshop Festival in Berlin, where he had the privilege to research with international choreographers and teachers to perform a new creation by Shannon Gillen. He's now dancing in his second season with Toronto Dance Theatre. Here is my conversation with Devon Snell.
Devon Snell, hello, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good. You're in crunch time. You open in about 10 days or so.
Yes, I guess. I haven't really counted yet. I'm still going like day by day, week by week, but yeah.
Do you find that the rehearsals are getting more intense as you're getting closer to the performance date?
I think like, it's kind of interesting how much, like, you'll do a piece for something and then you leave it for such amount of time and it feels like a really long time. And then the minute you kind of, like, hear the music, go over the counts, go over the steps, it's almost like it's, like, still in your body. Right. So I think going into it, like, the weekend before coming back to work, like, the Monday, I was kind of, like, anxious, nervous. And I was like, okay, how much am I going to remember? Like, is it going to feel like I'm doing a piece over again? But we kind of, like, finished remounting. We're, like, doing the piece and learning the piece, like, Monday to Wednesday, so it took us, like, 3 days, and rehearsals were only, like, 2 hours-ish, so it came back really fast. So, like, I think now that this week's done, we're done it, and we've kind of, like, talked over it, I feel, like, way more, I guess, like, comfortable with the piece, and it doesn't seem like this far-fetched, like, fantasy, like, oh, I'm gonna redo this piece in 2 weeks, and then perform it on this big stage for like a bunch of people. So,
well, you're performing as part of the Fall for Dance North Festival.
Yeah,
and it's coming up to its 5th anniversary. And whenever you're doing a festival, there's always many, many other things going on as part of it or attached to it. Have you thought about what it means for you as a dancer dancing with your company to be a part of something like this?
Yeah, I think it's, like, interesting because I feel like, I guess for, like, me, I don't really think about the stuff until, like, or I didn't really think about it until, like, it came up. Like, they were like, you're going to be performing at Fall for Dance. And then I was like, okay, like, I'd be into Fall for Dance. Like, it was one of my first shows I, like, saw when I came to Toronto and I started, like, training in dance. But, yeah, I didn't, really, like, really realize it until they told me. And then, like, I think this week was when I really hit me. And it was also interesting because I remember like the first year I came to the School of Toronto Dance Theatre, my first Fall for Dance, I saw TDT open the show with a one of Christopher House's pieces, and now like the company is going to be performing like next week at Fall Financial, where, like in 10 days, and we're also going to be opening. So it's kind of like a full circle, but I didn't really realize that until like a couple days ago.
You went through the school here at Trombonettes Theatre, and now you're part of the company.
Yeah.
What was that transition like for you? Was it made easier by the fact that you already had a connection here with this company?
Yeah, definitely. So our rehearsal director, Rosemary James, she's like one of the Graham teachers. She teaches the Graham technique at the school. So I had her all through the 3 years, so I was very like acquainted, and like I know kind of like how she worked, so it wasn't like I was jumping in with like a bunch of people I didn't know. Also, like being in the school, like I got to see a lot of like Toronto Dance Theatre shows, so I kind of like knew the dancers, had seen the work, so it wasn't like this like unfamiliarity, like where I knew some stuff about the company. Yeah, and like the technique, even though the company's been going like I guess like long before I was born, they still are like very instilled in like the modern technique, which like we were trained in when I went to the school. I mean, also when I joined the company, I was still in my third year of training at the school, so it kind of was like I was not like kicked into it, but like I didn't really have time to have that like graduate school, kind of reflect on like where I kind of wanted to go. Is like you're in school, but you're also gonna work professional now, and you're gonna start like touring and dancing and doing repertoire. So it was kind of just like I was like, I'm just gonna go with it. I'm gonna like work my butt off. I'm gonna try my hardest. It's gonna be challenging, but like fulfilling, because I guess like that's what I was striving to do when I was in school. I wanted to train and then get out of school and like, you know, make it into a company where I get like employed by a company. So it just like happened really early on, like way before I expected, and with a company I at first didn't really think I was going to be a part of. So yeah.
Do you remember what first sparked your interest in dance?
In dance, definitely when I was a kid, I was like, I was a shy kid, so I really enjoyed like just like, you know, dressing up. I really like dancing, and I feel like the times where I was the most like open and I would like share the most with people was like if I like put on a show or something, or like someone was like videotaping me perform. So at a very young age I was like into dance and like watching musicals and like music videos and stuff, but I didn't really like take it, I guess, like seriously, or think like, oh, I could like maybe do this as a profession, or like I could actually train and do this until like high school, I would say.
You know, I come from a theater background, your dance, and this is the Toronto Dance Theater.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find how would you describe the theatricality of dance? You know, because in a lot of shows, whether it's, you know, ballet or contemporary, it's so much more than just dance. There's acting. There's a story involved. How did you go about getting comfortable with that aspect of this form, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like with the company that I'm with right now, or kind of my training, I haven't really at like this point been able, I guess, to like play, I guess, like a character, because there is some contemporary pieces or dance pieces where like you do have more theater in it, and you'll have like lines and you have a character, whereas I feel like a lot of the work I'm in is like it's just kind of bringing your full self and being like present. So like the person you are on that date at that time during that performance is kind of your character. So it's like always changing, like kind of like within the piece from minute to minute, because it's like how you interact with people kind of like, and how you interact with the music and the dance and, like, you know, the environment and the atmosphere, like, of that time or during the performance can really, like, have a effect on, I guess, like, the theatrical component of it. But, yeah, I would say that. I haven't really had the opportunity yet to do a piece where, like, maybe pushes me right out of my comfort zone where I really have to, like, you know, commit to a character or, like, which I'm, like, excited to do one day, because I think, like, you know, in dance, like, we are kind of actors, like, we put on a role, so, yeah, it'd be fun to do that.
You know, given that dance, in a way, is sort of like a silent film, and
yeah,
there's not a lot of vocalization and verbalization, how enhanced, then, do your movements and your choreography become in order to tell the story that you want to tell?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, personally for me, like, I guess piece by piece, it's, like, different. There's definitely some, I would say, like, there's some pieces or stuff that I'll do that, like, I would say less is more, but it's really about, like, how I said, like, bringing your full, like, self to it, so it's not about, like, how many turns or jumps or how big the movement can be. It's just, like, how present can you be? How much can you connect with the audience? Because if you have this strong connection with the audience, like, that's what the piece is about. And then there's some pieces, like, the one that we'll be doing at Fall for Dance, it's very, like, just big and full and big movement, quick movement. Like, yeah, it's just, like, yeah, it's a piece.
Do you enjoy a sort of over-the-top aspect of it, or do you prefer stuff that's maybe more inward and restrained?
I think it depends on the piece. It depends on the choreographer and the direction that it's going, the people I'm working with. Like, and I also think, like, sometimes a piece will surprise me. Like, I do like moving big and full and, like, having these exaggerated things. But then sometimes I'll be in a piece that, like, it's that type of movement, but, like, I don't feel a connection. And there's some pieces where, like, I, maybe to the audience, like, I'm not doing a lot of movement, and it's not this crazy, demanding, fast-paced piece, but, like, that's the piece that I do feel the most connected with, and I feel like I'm doing the most, like, rigorous work. So it kind of, like, fluctuates piece by piece, but I also think it really comes down to, like, the direction that the choreographer is going and, like, the overall kind of, like, arc of the piece and, like, yeah, the whole body of the piece.
During, was there a time during this rehearsal process for GH5.0 that you suddenly, you know, felt like, okay, I have that connection now?
I would say, like, so we did this, like, in 2018, for Glass Fields, like, the TTT's 50th anniversary, and Hannah Keel, the choreographer, kind of adapted this from Christopher House's original piece, Glass Houses, and I actually had the opportunity to be in the original piece of Glass Houses and do this piece, so it was kind of interesting to do that piece, because it was almost like I kind of knew the history of the movement and where it came from, so it wasn't like I was just, like, watching a video of the original piece and then a choreographer being like, so this is my take on it. Like, I actually had to perform them, like, kind of back to back, so it was kind of like this surreal thing where, like, even though, like, to the audience, like, they don't know exactly where, like, the movement vocabulary is coming or the tasks are coming from, like, they're very, like, rooted and instilled from the original piece.
Right. How's it been for you as an artist, as a performer, to have been with one piece for 2 years almost?
I think this is the first time, well, I guess, like, being in the company, we do certain, like, Christopher House reps. I say, like, since I've been, like, yearly, because they're, like, a crowd favorite, and so we'll do them for, like, each year, or, like, we'll tour them. But this one was interesting because we did it, and it was, like, it was an outside choreographer coming into the company, and then it kind of was, like, after it was done, like, I don't think I ever felt like I was going to do it again, where I was going to revisit. So then we got asked to revisit, and I was actually excited because the year that I did this piece, it was, like, my first time being in the company. Like, we had toured that year. I was an intern, so I think, like, that whole year kind of, like, went really fast for me, and I didn't have a lot of time to reflect, so I was actually really excited to revisit the piece, because I just thought, like, by revisiting the piece, there could be so much more to, like, find within the piece and, like, kind of, like, develop, so.
Christopher House is a big name, and Glass Houses is an important part of not only the history of Toronto Dance Theatre, but Toronto Dance in itself.
Yeah.
And with you guys reimagining it both now for the 50th anniversary, what is it about this piece that you think has stood the test of time and has become such an integral part of a career for dancers in this city?
Well, I guess speaking specifically on Glass Houses that we did in 2018 that like Hannah like adapted for her GH 5.0 piece, like the original piece was made in 1983. I was born in 1997, so it's like far before like I was born I was even like a consideration. So it's also like really, I guess, exciting that I actually get to do pieces that are like way before me and like have so much history and so many people who are in the community who I might have like retired or like older that I don't see as much, like they also did the piece. But yeah, it's just like the original piece is like we're in these colorful unitards and it's just like really, really, really fast piano music. And it like is just very stamina built and it's just very fast movement. So, and even like doing Hannah's, like it is also very fast movement and it's very full. So I think on those kind of like, even though there's so many differences, there's like there's a lot of similarities within the piece. Yeah, I think Christopher House is just like a really big name in like contemporary dance and like probably bigger than like I know just because like I've only been in the company, this is my third year, but I didn't know of him until I came to the school and I was like told about him in the company. So I think like kind of like every day where every time we do a piece and then we get told about the history or like how long it's being performed and when it was made and then we hear about like the, I guess like the pioneers or the other dancers that have done it, it kind of like reinstills like, okay, like this piece is actually a very important part of history, like, yeah, so it's cool that, like, I'm performing pieces sometimes that have, like, more history than maybe I do or, like, have been around longer than I have, so, like, yeah.
I know that this adaptation was initially created for the 50th anniversary of the company. What was it like to be a part of that occasion, the 50th anniversary? Because it's a pretty big deal. Like, 50 is a big number for a lot of companies.
Yeah.
How did you find just being in that environment during that time?
Well, for the 50th anniversary, it was kind of like, I guess it was my first year being in the company, but it was kind of like a crazy exciting year because we went on tour that year for like most of the whole beginning of the year, and then we came back at the very end of our season just to perform Glass Fields for the 50th anniversary at the Fleck. So for me, I think most of my excitement came from other people's excitement because it was my first year in the company and I haven't been around for like 50 years or like I haven't really seen or been in the company for long enough to see like a huge transition. I think most of like my feelings and emotions came from just hearing other people talk about like what it meant to be in the company for a certain amount of time or what it meant to like be seeing Glass Houses performed again. Yeah, just because it was my first year, I really think like I was just excited and like grateful to be in the company. So like, you know, any number anniversary would have like made me happy, but yeah.
What was your favorite memory from touring that year?
Touring, I think it was just the fact that like we got to, like we went to Columbia, which was cool because like we went to some places I guess like I don't think I would ever go to or think about going to if it was just like myself like going on a trip, and just going to like I guess smaller towns in Canada or like yeah towns and like meeting people that don't ever really get to see this type of dance or they don't ever get to see like theater shows and stuff, and to them this was just like this crazy thing that they were watching and they were just like so grateful, which I think like living in Toronto in such a big city where like we do have so much access to the arts, like I feel like sometimes I take it for granted, like you'll pick and choose your shows or you'll be like like I've already seen a show this week so like I'm not gonna go to this show, whereas like yeah you'd meet these people and they were just like talked to you, like, you were, like, this big celebrity where, like, they have never known you, but, like, you had done something or changed their life by, like, performing for them, and it was just, like, nice to talk to people and kind of connect with people on a level like that through, like, dance or, like, my passion. So, yeah.
I know that this festival, I think, Red had something like 5 North American premieres, 2 world premieres, and pieces from Brazil, Sweden, India, Taiwan, as well as a lot of live performances. Has it sunk in just how big this festival is for you? Just in terms of the sheer number of artists that are going to be here and all the connections you might make?
I think, like, over the past years, like, going to the show, like, I've known that it's big because it comes around, like, every year, and I think it brings, like, so many people from different walks of life and, like, walks of life, and definitely people who might not ever really go to dance shows, but they'll come to Fall for Dance because it's, like, at the Meridian Hall, and it's such a big thing, and I think it's also good that tickets are affordable because, like, so many students go to see the show, so, and you get to see so many companies that, like, you might not ever get the chance to see because they don't actually come to tour to Toronto. But I also think being in the show now is, like, it just, yeah, it's kind of, like, I'm kind of grateful to be, like, dancing, you'd be, like, next to these people that are from different countries who come from a very different, diverse background than me. And, yeah, just to share the stage with other artists and, like, kind of, like, share experiences is, I kind of think, what the job's about and, like, what's the whole, like, communities about.
You know, you mentioned ticket prices, which are only $15, and, you know, and I've been to shows that are $5.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've been to shows where tickets are, like, you know, $80. For you, as, you know, both a performer but also a young person, how important is the accessibility of your show in terms of being able to, you know, obviously, everyone wants to reach as wide an audience as possible.
Yeah.
But as soon as you set a certain price point, you're going to eliminate a certain segment of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So is that something that, as a performer, as part of a company, you know, do you think about the business side of things at all?
I think definitely, like, personally, I feel like maybe I don't think as much as the business side when it's, like, my shows, unless I'm, like, you know, one of my friends is coming to the show and they're, like, talking about the tickets, where it's like, okay, I'll get you a discount, or I'll get you. But I guess, like, being kind of, like, fresh out of school and, like, remembering to be in school and not having a job, I remember, like, trying to go to a show or a big company coming into, I guess, like, coming to Toronto and, like, someone talking about, like, oh, this is such a big company, like, they haven't been here for 4 years, like, you need to go see, like, anytime a ticket was, like, just a little less money, or you could get a discount, or, like, they're so good at giving, like, student discounts and, like, artist discounts, it just, I think it brings more of the younger people together, because I feel like, yeah, sometimes just that, just the numbers can kind of just, like, scare people, and then it's almost this thing, like, even though art, I feel like, is a tricky thing, because, like, the whole point is, like, even if you go to the show and you're not really into it, like, I think it's still good that you went because you still take something from it. But I think when you're younger, you're just, like, I know when I was younger, I was really, like, scared to, like, I was, like, if I buy this ticket and it's this much money and I don't like it, like, I don't know, it's just, like, one of those things in your head. Now I'm, like, kind of, like, you know, whatever, we're going to spend the money. I want to go see the show. And if it's not, like, something I was fully into, like, we'll find something in it that, like, I can take from, but definitely I think it's a great thing to have these kind of tickets that are affordable, like, across the board for everybody. And then also, like, because we're having, like, a range diversity of performers, having this, like, you know, cheaper price ticket, I think it also brings a diversity to the audience, because I think, like, the audience also reflects the performers, so you want to have a diverse audience watch you.
You know, on that note, is, Do you find that there's, from an audience perspective, that there's still maybe certain misconceptions about modern and contemporary dance? Because if you look at it, classical dance, like the ballets, were performed for the upper classes.
Yep.
You know, like, and there is, I can, you know, an idea that I guess, you know, the upper classes were very stiff and prim and proper. And so because of that, I think dance, or at least certain types of dance, have this reputation of you know, of sort of being not for the people. So in terms of shattering that, you know, how do you spread the word that yes, dance can be for everybody?
Yeah, I think like also I think also like coming into like the business or the professional, you know, scene now, like I remember going to shows and like the wide range of diversity, like contemporary or like modern, has such a like wide range of like pieces. Like you'll go see one show, like you could go see four contemporary shows or modern shows within the week, and they could all be very different. I have friends that, you know, they work with different companies or different artists, and like they're doing stuff that like I, you know, don't do or I've never done. So I think like, yeah, it's, I think it's also one of those things where like contemporary dance is one of those things where sometimes you just have to go to a bunch of shows to almost like find maybe a choreographer or a, like, yeah, a choreographer or a dancer or a company that like really kind of like fits your interests. Because it's not like, I guess, going to the ballet where like, I'm not going to say the style's the same, but like the narrative and kind of like the storyline and the costumes and the scenes change, but it's still in the realm of ballet. Whereas like contemporary, like, yeah, it can kind of be anything that the choreographer and the dancers want. So I think that's when it can be like a hit or miss for people that aren't really into the arts, because if they go to a show, their first contemporary show, and it just doesn't spark their interest, I think a lot of the times they're scared off and they're just like, okay, I don't like contemporary dance. Like, that's not what I was thinking it was going to be. But it's like, there's like so many other shows you can go see. Like, don't, you know, this shouldn't be your only opinion on contemporary dance, because there's like six other shows happening this month, so just go see two more or go see one more and you might, you know, fall in love with that show and that choreographer.
In terms of your history, how many, you know, different styles did you study, did you look at before you said, I think this is the type of dance I want to do?
When I was younger, I went to a studio where I was from, and it was a competitive studio. So I trained in jazz, hip-hop, acro, musical theater, contemporary. So I did all those styles. I was definitely one of the kids or dancers that was more, I leaned towards like jazz, hip-hop, musical theater. I did not like ballet as a kid. I didn't really like the contemporary side. And then I think as I got older, I think maybe like the commercial world and just like that type of competitive like energy and drive, like I just don't think at that age I was like kind of as confident or brave to like venture into that side. So I just thought like maybe I'll try this style of dance that I don't know much about, but people speak really highly. So yeah, I just kind of like ventured into it with not really knowing that much. Because also when you research modern and contemporary dance, there is a lot of information, but there's not as much when you research commercial dance. Like, and like even on TV, there's so many shows out now that are like dance shows, but like they're not modern dance shows. So I think, yeah, I think I just thought like, you know, I like to dance. I think this is my passion. I think I want to continue to do this. So I might as well just, like, dive into a style. And if I don't like it, I don't like it. I'll just, like, go to a different style. But I might as well just try it and see, like, what benefits and, like, what I can actually, like, what I can get out of it.
The choreography for GH 5.0 has been described as deliberate, yet barely contained. So, to me, that just, you know, it's sort of, like, deliberately wild, I guess, is what I'm getting out of that. How did you, what was the process like for you in sort of learning all the choreography and being that specific about something so big and broad?
Yeah. Definitely creating and like working with and Akil, the choreographer, we kind of got into the studio, and a bunch of people that are actually in the piece were also in the original piece, the Glass House piece, with me. But we got into the studio, and it was kind of like we had tasks, and we made our own movement, and then we would come together, and she would kind of direct us and give us more direction to, like, make a group sequence and stuff. It's definitely, it's very big movement. The music's very, it's like electronic, so it's very fast paced, but it just gets your heart beating. Like, you like, you kind of get excited with the music and the piece, so it's kind of hard when you're dancing the piece not to kind of just get into this mode where, like, the music's driving and then you just, like, kind of get carried with the music. But there's definitely moments in the, like, in the piece that, like, the music's crazy and it's getting, like, it's driving, but the dancers are very still, I would say, like, contained, and it's not really, you know, as crazy as the music. But it's definitely, compared to the original piece, it's, I would say, it's a little bit crazier. I think the original piece was crazy in the sense it was just super fast and the movement was super sharp, and you just had to complete these movements within these, like, you know, times and scores, and it was kind of like, you'd think, like, okay, this is impossible, like, how can I finish this count within, like, this? But, like, I think in most things in dance, where, like, when you're a dancer, like, you just keep on rehearsing and rehearsing, and I think, like, eventually it doesn't become this big, like, you're not like, okay, that's easier than I thought, like, it's not as bad as when we first started. But when we first started, it was like, we have some parts in the dance that are very fast, and, like, even revisiting them, I was like, okay, like, I gotta prepare myself. I don't know if I'll be able to do it today, but, you know, I guess it's life.
Especially in contemporary dance, there's a lot of music involved. You know, I've been dancers where the choreography is accompanied by original music.
Yeah.
Let's say, do you, as performers in the course of the process, do you have a relationship with the composer at all, or is it more strictly, let's just focus on the movements?
Recently, in a lot of the pieces lately I've been in, especially, like, the one that we'll be performing, the music was made for the piece. Greg Harrison, the composer for the piece, he wasn't in the studio with us from the beginning. But, like, I remember, like, Hannah, if there was a part that we kind of needed, like, an extra 8 count, or we needed kind of, like, some extra, you know, beat or a drum to just, like, signal, like, a count, or just, like, kind of, like, bring us all together to, like, you know, show us where we were in the piece, like, he definitely changed it. And, like, I would say when we were making the piece, kind of, like, week by week, the music changed, because also as we played with the piece and we formed the piece, he played with the music and formed the music. And then around the showtime, we got together, and that's when we kind of, like, were in the same studio, working on the piece and working on the music. But for this piece, it was kind of made separate. And I think Hannah might have, like, videotaped and showed him videos. But yeah, I think also just, like, with other pieces in hand that I'm getting made today, I think choreographers and musicians are trying to have this, like, kind of connection and this conversation, because as much as it is the dancer's piece, it's also the musician's piece. So I think it's best when we're in a constant conversation, and I also think it just makes it a easier and a more exciting process for all the artists that are a part of it.
What's the most exciting part of having that sense of fluidity during the rehearsal process? You're sort of, you know, forming it as you go.
Yeah. I think, like, even though, like, I'm used to, like, remounting pieces that have already been made, so you, like, watch a tape and, like, you have already set count, I think when you create a piece from scratch, like, personally for me, it always feels like it can change in a sense. Like, it's not so concrete. You're not like, okay, so the person who performed this before me did this count where the solo looked like this. It's like, I did this solo 2 years ago or a year ago, but, like, my life has changed. I'm a different person. I have different interests. I dance a little bit differently. So, like, you know, like the soul or the piece change, like changes with like the people that are in it. And I think when you create a piece, like it's almost kind of like, I guess like it's your piece, like in a sense, like, yeah. So I feel like you don't always feel so like strict around like, oh, I gotta keep this count. And definitely in this process, we're like figuring stuff out that we didn't figure out the first time we made the piece, and we're changing it now, or we're like talking about how like, okay, this part didn't feel as comfortable then, but like how can we change it now or develop it now so that it does feel comfortable. So I think it's just like the conversation of like, yeah, no one's like super married to the piece, and it's not like, oh, it has to be like this. I did it on this count and it has to be on this count. It's like, you know what, if this works better this time, it's gonna work like this, so like might as well go along with it.
Do you have dreams of being a choreographer yourself one day, or do you just strictly want to dance?
I don't know, for me, like, I would love to choreograph. I would love to like have that kind of creative juice. I also think like just creating pieces, like being the dancer for a like with a choreographer, like I guess I'm already choreographing in a sense because I'm creating stuff, but like I don't know, like right now in my life and like a lot of the times, I think like I really like having other people's direction and like kind of constant input, and then just kind of like bouncing off ideas. I like I work the best like that, like, but like I don't know, I also, yeah, maybe one day I feel like I would like to be a choreographer, or like at least choreograph one piece. But like right now, I'm just always focused on, you know, being the performer, being the dancer.
Is Broadway your future? I know you said that you have an affinity for musical theater as well.
Like honestly, recently I've been thinking, just because like childhood, like my dreams were to, you know, be on Broadway, were like backup dance for like some big like singer. I've been thinking lately, I'm like, you know, like I feel like if I'm gonna continue in this profession, I might like to try one day to, you know, Broadway comes up, then, you know, it'd be fun to do it. Like, if a tour came up with, like, an actual singer or an artist. I also think it'd be cool if, like, we could kind of, like, merge, like, you know, the two worlds. Because I feel like now, in dance right now, you're seeing a lot of, you know, Broadway shows or, like, artists that are using contemporary dance or looking to like modern and contemporary companies, and they're like, well, like, you know, I'm interested in this because it's so different from what, you know, other people are doing, and it kind of makes them stick out. So, you know, one day if I'm a choreographer and like someone comes up to me and says, hey, do you want to choreograph on Broadway, and it fits, why not?
Do you feel like the dance has either become more popular, or that the public's perception of dance has changed recently? Because you have all these dance shows like Dancing with the Stars,
yeah.
So You Think You Can Dance. You know, you have all these, you know, the NBC or Fox Live,
yeah,
musical adaptations, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar, Rent, and, you know, and then you have people like Misty Copeland, who, you know, who did the, I think she was in the Nutcracker adaptation recently. You had Black Swan with Natalie Portman. It seems like there is more dance in pop culture than there used to be.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I think also, like, I guess being a dancer, I think the conversation, like, even when, like, I'm talking to someone that's not really, they don't know much about the arts or specifically dance, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm a dancer. And they'll be like, oh, are you, like, have you been on World of Dance? Are you gonna audition? And, like, the first initial thing is to be like, no, I'm not that type of dancer. Like, I'm a modern, like, because they don't get, like, modern, where you say contemporary, and, like, on those shows, they do, like, So You Think You Dance, and on those shows, like, they have contemporary. But I think just, like, overall, like, we're all dancers, so, like, even starting the conversation, and even though, like, there's more dance on the platform, and I feel like more people are coming to terms of, like, respecting dance and seeing it as our form, like, overall, like, that's just, like, the best thing as a dancer to hear. So even though it's not, like, you know, World of Dance and seeing like a modern piece on it, like, you know, I still cheer on other artists and like I'm proud for other dancers. But yeah, it's kind of interesting how much I think that dance is coming to the forefront in like pop culture and stuff. But yeah, but especially when I was younger, like I was always interested in like the more dance side of pop culture. Yeah. Like I think half the time I was into an artist or something is because they could also dance and they had these backup dancers. So I think just being a dancer, I'm always kind of like, I always kind of am attracted to stuff that has more of a movement base or dancing, you know, well, aesthetic to it.
I mean, somebody like Misty Copeland, who's probably one of the biggest names in at least ballet and contemporary now. How much do you think that, if not dance as a whole, she has popularized at least a certain type of dance or dance as a valid expressive medium, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I feel like, I guess when I was, I'm going to go back to like when I was growing up, like I kind of think I only knew dance as in like in a theater, but I also like knew like ballet dancers as like they just did ballet. They just did like the Nutcracker. And then you had like backup dancers were like people that did urban styles and they did that stuff. But like I was like and then they would get famous because they were in that commercial world. But I think like this whole new thing of like ballet dancers and like contemporary dancers kind of like coming into the commercial world and being judges and like giving their take on their style in this world is kind of a good thing, because like, yeah, the dance that people see on TV isn't the only art that's happening, and it's not the only like intelligent artist in the world. So I think if one dancer can like, you know, represent a whole different style or a community of dancers, then I think it's great.
I mean, I remember when I was young and I studied dance, you know, whether it was ballet or jazz. Those two, I was, you know, one of the only males in my class. Hip hop was a little different. There was a few more guys. Mm-hmm. But do you find that there's still misconceptions of what it means, like that, like people still have misconceptions or I guess prejudgments of someone who is a male dancer? Or have we, you know, in this day and age of, you know, this conversation around, you know, gender roles and breaking that down, has that largely gone away?
I think it's, like, still very relevant, like, because also I think it, like, depends on who you talk to. So if I'm talking to other artists, like, I've never felt like I have to, like, explain, like, oh, I'm a male dancer. It's just, like, I can just say I'm a dancer, and they're like, okay, that's great. Like, cool, do you know this person and so-and-so? And, like, it never comes, like, they never ask me, like, oh, but, like, you're a male, or, like, you identify as this. Whereas, like, if I have a conversation, like, maybe, like, with my, like, parents' friends and stuff, like, they're just, like, you know, they're just kind of, like, sometimes one-sided, and they just have to, like, wrap that. They're like, oh, so you do ballet. Like, you're one of those males that do ballet. And I'm like, well, no. Like, no matter what your gender, right, like, you identify, like, there's a million styles you can do, and it's not just, like, you do this style. And so I think it depends on who you talk to and, like, what style. But, yeah, definitely when I was younger, I went to a studio, and I was the only male dancer. So I didn't really grow up with other male dancers. And then when I came to Toronto, there was, like, so many. So I was like, okay, I'm not like the odd one out. So now being in Toronto in this community, like I really don't ever really think about it because, yeah, I'm around so many, I guess, male dancers and female dancers. So, yeah.
What are you looking forward to most about performing GH 5.0?
I think I'm just looking forward to kind of like dancing it at Fall for Dance on the Meridian Hall, also just because I feel like I've been to so many shows there, and I've, even though I've been like, okay, that would be amazing to perform on this stage now, sometimes it's not like, I'm like, it's just like a dream, or like, if I perform on it, great, if I don't, like, it doesn't mean I didn't make it in my career. But it's also like how I talked about like the full circle, like the fact that like my first Fall for Dance show, I saw the TDT company perform one of their pieces, and now like I'm in the company like performing a piece and I'm opening too. It's kind of like surreal that that's happening. So I think, you know, and I have friends performing in other shows, so I think it's just the whole overall, like, experience that I'm excited for, and, like, I guess, like, the other people's excitement for us also kind of, I guess, amps you up, because they're excited, so you're like, okay, you're excited for me, so I guess I'm excited too, like.
Well, Fall for Dance North is October 2nd to 6th at the Meridian Hall. Devin Snell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with dancer Devin Snell. The Fall for Dance North Festival runs from October 2nd through 6th at Meridian Hall and Ryerson Theater. That does it for me today. Thanks to Devin Snell, and of course, thanks to Ella Batten for setting the last two interviews up. My next guest on Wednesday's show will be filmmaker Jennifer Beachwall. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.